Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Christopher Davis, and Chris is the Republican candidate for the New York State Senate, and he's not here to talk about his New York State Senate run, but he's going to be talking about the presidential primary on the Republican side that's coming up on April 19th. So, Chris, do you have your popcorn ready?
Yeah, it's been popping for a few weeks now watching this whole process. I do want to thank you very much for having me on tonight and say hello to everyone who's listening. I think it's an interesting time. It's unlike any presidential election I can remember. So I'm excited.
I've been watching off and on all day today, and they're talking about Trump, and they're talking about Cruz, but there's not much talk about Kasich. Is Kasich going to be a big factor in New York, do you think?
Well, actually, Kasich could be a big factor in New York, and I'll tell you why. I mean, if you look at the recent polls, he's actually beating Cruz in New York in several of these polls. And the thing about the New York primary for the GOP is you need to hit 20% of the vote to get any of the delegates. And right now, if you check out some of the recent polls on the Republican side, even factoring in the margin of error, there's a good chance that Cruz could come in around 16-17% and not get any of the delegates. So it could be a factor. Now, most of the polls show that Trump is favored to win by about 30 points. In fact, I think all but one or two of the most recent polls show him expected to get well over 50%. So I think the goal for Trump is going to be to get as close to 60% as he can to try and lock up all of the 95 delegates that are available in New York State. So, I'll tell you the thing about Kasich. He's still here. A lot of people are surprised. An interesting fact is, you know, Marco Rubio still has more delegates than him. Rubio has about 170, and Kasich is around 140 right now.
Right. Now, Rubio has not pledged his delegates to anybody else, right?
That is correct. So if we end up with a brokered convention this election on the 19th is going to give us an indication of whether that's going to be more likely than not, those delegates could come into play. And if he doesn't pledge them to anyone, we could be in for a big fight on the convention floor.
This whole thing is absolutely amazing. There was news this morning that the one question I want to talk about before Giuliani is, you know, in the Democratic primary, the delegates run. The delegates are on the petitions. But in the Republican primary, nobody knows who the delegates are in each congressional district, correct?
I believe that is correct. I do know that they are on the ballot for the Democratic primary, although, you know, having never voted in one of those, I don't know how that'll actually go. It's a very confusing process. I mean, even for someone like me who's involved in politics, the primary process and the way the parties have this set up is for them to be able to maintain as much control as possible. A good example of this is, you know, Congressman Tomko, who even said, you know, if Bernie Sanders wins the popular vote, regardless, he's going to pledge his vote for Hillary Clinton. So that just gives you an indication of how this delegate process works, where, you know, it's not always who does the best. It's who those delegates are tied to. And the party has a lot of control over what can happen. But for anyone who's listening, you go in, you want to vote for your candidate, and if the delegates, I mean, it varies state by state, but if your delegates should be next to your candidate of interest.
Now, today, Giuliani came out and not only supported Donald Trump, but said that he would vote for Donald Trump. Do you think that that's going to be a major factor?
I think it can have an impact in New York City. I do. I mean, you know, he was a longtime mayor there. He was the last real Republican mayor we had. You know, Bloomberg did the switch, so, you know, he really, really doesn't count in that regard. I mean, even though Giuliani's been out of the game for a bit, you know, I still think his word has some sway. So if you had some people who are on the fence, who are Republicans, and they weren't sure whether they were going to go with Trump or Cruz, I mean, this could push more people in his direction. I don't think it can hurt. You know, with the whole 9/11 issue, I mean, with them being in New York around the time, and, you know, that's come into play. Trump's a New York City guy. I think that the endorsement wasn't all that unexpected per se, but I think it can only help. I think it can only help Donald.
Now, from your knowledge, what is the feeling of Chairman Ed Koch towards Donald Trump that you know of?
I can't speak for the chairman. I don't know what he's thinking about the candidates per se. I would think that he, you know, would be happy to support Trump if he's the one who's chosen by the New York primary voters. If he's the ultimate nominee for the party, I'm sure the chairman will support him. And the same is said for Ted Cruz. I know that, you know, we have the New York Republican dinner is coming up next week before the primary. I think it's on the 14th, if I remember correctly, down in the city. And the candidates are all expected to be there at the gala. So, you know, I think the relationship is good overall. I think it's professional, and we'll see what happens. You know, Donald has come out in the debates before and said, you know, he's a businessman. You know, he hasn't been a boots-on-the-ground type Republican. He's donated lots of money to candidates on both sides of the aisle. In fact, I think he's donated more to Democrats in his time, although being a New York person, that tends to make sense. But I don't think there's any, you know, negative feelings there. And I don't know if the chairman is leaning in one direction or the other, but I think it's safe to say that whoever the voters choose and whoever the nominee will be is the one that he's going to support.
Now, I heard a disturbing thing on this afternoon that Roger Stone is calling up delegates and threatening them to make sure they vote for Trump. Did you hear that?
This is the first I'm actually hearing of that. I did not hear that. I can't confirm that. So I really am not fit to comment on that because I just don't know if that's true or not.
Okay, the one thing that I find very interesting is on Tuesday, the pundits were saying that Cruz was one of the most disliked senators, but now they're rooting for Cruz to stop Trump. In the event that Trump does not get the required number of delegates, and if the rug is pulled out from under him, do you think all of the people that vote for Trump in the primaries will be upset? And do you think they'll go somewhere else?
Well, there's a few things there. So obviously the goal for Trump is to get to that magic number of 1237, I believe it is. And he can still do it mathematically, but it's up in the air. And so the primaries here in New York and the subsequent ones, California in June and things like that, they're going to matter. If he does not get there, and this goes to the floor, I mean, that is a process that's built in, so the party has some control there. Now, if he's close, you know, I would think that it'd be hard-pressed for the party to take it away from him and give it to Cruz. But they could give it to anyone. If it's a brokered convention, it could go to anyone. They could nominate someone on the floor. They could pull in somebody like Paul Ryan. Exactly. Paul Ryan, very well liked. You know, that's a possibility. Romney has been another name we've heard again. They could pull Rubio back in. So anything could happen there. Now, as I said before when we last spoke, when we talked about our Senate run, about the Senate run, and you asked me about this, you know, I feel that if there is an aura of this of them stealing this nomination from Donald Trump, it's going to alienate quite a few of the voters. I mean, you're going to have the base that votes Republican no matter what. Just like in the Democratic Party, the Democrats are going to vote for whoever the Democrat is. It could be a wet rag. They're still going to vote down the line on the D. Same thing with the R. But you're going to alienate quite a few people if it comes off that they stole this from him. And as I said, I wouldn't be surprised to see some revolt on the part of some of these voters. You know, they could leave the party. And, you know, that's not what you want to do heading into a situation where, you know, the record of Congress, you know, the approval ratings are not very good. You don't want to lose the houses in the midterm elections coming up as well in this one. So it's an interesting situation. Now, in terms of the pundits saying they're going to support Cruz, I mean, this is, again, you know, this is the establishment trying to maintain control. I mean, I can tell you that Trump is a guy that, you know, he's not in the pocket of the party, and I think that makes people nervous who are in the establishment. So they would want to have somebody that they know absolutely 100% that they could work with and mold and shape, et cetera. So I think that's been one of the draws of Donald Trump as well among the voters, is that he's not one of these guys. You know, for all of his faults, that's one thing that people can say honestly about him as well. He's not in anyone's pocket, including the party. So it's going to be interesting, and I think we're going to have a much better view of what this convention could look like after the New York state primary.
Now, Donald Trump has said over and over again that he's a self-funder. His whole campaign has been waged with his money. Come the general election, it's going to be a little more pricey. And the talk is that he will have to, you know, he will have to fundraise. Do you think that will diminish his campaign any?
I think that if he is the nominee, that you're going to see him kind of pull back towards the middle of the road, more so than to the right. And, you know, that's a smart strategy. You see most presidential candidates do it. But I actually believe that that's the type of man that Donald Trump is. I believe he does hold conservative values, but I think he also is a moderate in many respects. And I think that'll do well with the voters. Now, in terms of fundraising, you know, a lot of people are still donating to his campaign without him actually asking for it. So you've got everyday people who are writing checks and sending donations in anyway. But as you know, in a presidential race, these are very, very expensive. And, you know, as much money as Donald Trump has, you know, does he want to invest his entire worth into this campaign? I don't know. You know, so he may have to take some money. Now, I know he said over and over again he's not taking money from anyone. People are offering him checks. He said no. But I'll tell you that if he can continue on this path of getting all of the free press, you know, whether he says something controversial and it's on your news cycle 24/7, or, you know, he says something in a debate that people are like, whoa, let's stop and analyze this. That's been a smart play by him. I mean, look how much money Jeb Bush spent, and he couldn't get over 5% of the vote in many cases. He spent $100 million. So to Trump's credit, he's really good at not spending money and maximizing his returns on that small investment.
Yes, but he knows how to use the media well.
This is very true. Now, you know, I've spoken to people that say they know him and they know him as a person, and that a lot of this, you know, this is kind of an act for him, and it's you know, maybe his strategy to win the primary, to kind of shore up the base. I mean, you can see it in the Democratic Party, too, you know. Hillary Clinton wouldn't be saying the things that she's been saying if Bernie Sanders wasn't in this race. So Bernie has made her swing farther to the left than I think she's comfortable with. And I think the same has to be said for Donald Trump. When you've got conservatives, true conservatives in the race, he's probably had to swing to the right on some things that he may not necessarily feel comfortable about. Maybe that's explained some of the immigration comments he's made. I'm not sure. But that's my inclination.
Uh-huh. Now, while everybody is focused on the presidential race, on the national race, April 19th is crucial for the chamber that you're running in.
That's right.
Running for, I should say, because the special election in Nassau County will determine the balance of power the state senate. Do you think that the national ticket will have a great bearing on who wins the state senate in Nassau County?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. So for those listening, this is the Dean Skelo seat in question, which the election is also on the primary. And I know that, Senator Breslin, my opponent, actually was on a radio show recently, and he said that he was hoping the election would be close, so a lot of and I'm referring to the Sanders-Clinton race, so that a lot of Democrats would come out and vote and actually help swing that district into the hands of the Democrats. Now, last I checked, I believe the Republicans do have a slight lead in that race. But I also think, you know, with the Trump effect, a lot of you've seen historic turnout in these GOP primaries across the country. I think he could help the Republican candidate as well. So it remains to be seen. But the bottom line is, you're absolutely right. That is crucial. That seat is crucial. We have to hold the majority as a Republican Party. And I think that's why you saw the deals made for the budget. And you know that a lot of these Republicans were not comfortable at all with some of the proposals that were in the budget. You know, the things like the minimum wage hike, the paid family leave things that should have been on the open floor and voted up or down with people on record. They tied these things into the budget. And so I think that's why a deal was made that the Republicans wanted to be united. They didn't want to have dissent, because it's important that they stay united to keep that majority and win the elections this year and keep the balance of power. There's
now
also another interesting race
that I just wanted
to mention, which is Shelley Silver's seat as well. And that race is actually a three-way race right now. Now, the outcome of that election won't shift the balance of power in the Assembly, of course, but it's interesting to watch because there's – you know, the Democratic insider who's tied to Shelley Silver running. There's a Working Families Party candidate who's polling very well. And then there's the Republican candidate, Lester Chang. Now, that's a Democrat-heavy area. But if the Working Families Party candidate and the Democratic Party candidate split the vote, the Republican could sneak in with a victory there. So that's another race that I think we want to be paying attention to as well.
That's interesting. Now, Clinton came here Monday. Hillary Clinton went to Cahos on Monday, and it was not that well organized. Where people went and were turned away.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to comment on it, but if you wanted to finish your question, please do.
Trump is scheduled or rumored to be here Monday at the Times Union Center. That's going to create quite a bit of chaos if it's like around drive time in the afternoon. Do you think he can fill up the arena, which is 17,000 capacity?
So let me just first comment on the Hillary Clinton visit. Since I am a lifelong Cahosier myself and only live a few blocks from high school, what a great historic event for the city of Cahos. And, you know, I congratulate the mayor for being able to have this there. I'm very excited for the school. I mean, it really puts on the map for a day. It'll probably never happen again in our lifetimes, just the way the landscape is shaping up. So, you know, whether you like Hillary Clinton or not, I mean, you have to admit that's really just a great thing for the area as a whole. In terms of the organization, the city had nothing to do with this. This is the campaign, the Hillary Clinton campaign itself. And as I understand it, they did not cap registration. So they kept it open. So, you know, I understand they had somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 people sign up. Now, the Cahos High Gymnasium max probably holds about 1,000 people. My daughter actually went, and she got in line at 3 o'clock to be guaranteed to be able to go in and experience that. And she said the line was just as far as the eye could see. And yeah, I mean, hundreds and hundreds, if not 1,000 people had to be turned away. And it's unfortunate for all the time they spend waiting there. Now, how they chose the high school probably was, you know, convenience location wise. I can guarantee you they looked at many other venues. Rumor has it they were looking at the Egg Convention Center, or the Convention Center at the Plaza, but the fear was that they wouldn't be able to fill it. So I think that's why they shied away from that. Turning to Donald Trump, I mean, how amazing is it that we're having a third presidential candidate come to the area? As we know, Ted Cruz was here this morning out in Scotia, and, you know, great for the town out there. Probably, again, something that will never happen again in their lifetime. So it's just incredible that our area is finally part of the process and gets to experience this. I think Trump needs a venue the size of the Times Union Center. Will he fill it to capacity? Probably not 17,000. But could he draw 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people? I think that's easily doable. So, you know, an arena like that, centrally located near the highways, you know, that's going to be problematic traffic-wise. But, you know, maybe not so different than when there's a big concert or something like that in town. You know, there's more precautions to be taken Secret Service-wise. They'll be the ones probably who work with the local police and state police to shut down roads and things. So if he does come, and I think the rumor is he'll be, you know, in here somewhere between 4 and 8 o'clock, you know, you're going to want to probably take some extra time planning your route home that day, because I think he's going to make every effort to be here. On that note, I will also comment that I heard that John Kasich will be coming to the area. He'll be having an event at the same time as Trump up, I believe, in Saratoga Springs. So we did hear that as well. So, you know, that's four major candidates coming to the area. That's incredible. And I would be willing to bet that Bernie Sanders will not be outdone, and he will have one of his own events here as well. And that will be equally as well attended as Donald Trump's, I can assure you. I mean, him and Trump have been drawing some of the largest crowds in political history. It's really quite impressive.
So your predictions, I know – nobody's got a crystal ball, but what do you envision?
For the primary?
Yeah.
Yep, so for the primary, you know, the Clinton-Sanders race is really kind of the one that I'm interested in, even though I'll, you know, be participating in the GOP one. That one has gotten tighter and tighter. You know, a month or so ago, you know, Clinton had over a 20-point lead. Now the polls are showing that lead's been narrowed to about 10 points. And with a margin of error on these polls of 3 or 4 points, it could get very, very interesting. You know, I think that you know, Hillary Clinton has a lot to lose. If she doesn't perform very well in a state where she was the senator, I mean, that could be very detrimental. Bernie's had a lot of momentum. I don't think the media has really been harping on the fact that he's won, what, 7 or 8 races straight, something like that.
Right.
Over on the GOP side, you know, I think Trump wins by double digits, definitely. What I will be watching for is to see if he crosses that 50% mark, because if he does so, he wins the 14 – there's 14 state delegates. I believe if he gets over 50%, he gets them all. I'm not 100% on that, but I think that's the case. But, you know, the other number to watch there is 20%. If Cruz does not get 20%, he doesn't get any delegates. And Kasich could be a spoiler there. If Trump can manage to muster 55, 56% of the vote, and as you know, there's other candidates on this ballot still as well, you know, the 5 or 6% going to the others, you could see Trump sweep the state. If he does that, he's in very good shape to actually win the 1,237 delegates needed to secure the nomination. So that's what I think that everyone really needs to be paying attention to is that margin of victory.
I'm glad you mentioned that. If he does win New York State, he did not win Wisconsin. Had he won Wisconsin, and if he wins New York, would you say if those two things actually happened, that he would be unstoppable?
It would be pretty close. Let's see. If he won Wisconsin had somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 delegates or so. If he took them all, that would put him somewhere at like 770, 780. And if he were to win all of New York, all 95, you know, that puts him at 875, 880. It would be tough for him to not win. So now the race is closer. You know, there's only a 220, 230 delegate spread between Trump and Cruz right now. And I know that's why Donald Trump recently was commenting to John Kasich that he needed to get out of the race because he was taking votes. I don't necessarily know if he was taking votes from Trump or from Cruz or both of them equally, but it was an interesting comment. And I think Kasich is hanging around. He's going to try to acquire as many delegates as he can. He thinks that he would make the best candidate to go against Hillary, and he thinks that, I mean, you know, he said on his social media accounts that, you know, he thinks he could win in a brokered convention. That remains to be seen. I know the establishment likes him, but right now with Cruz being the favorite, or at least the second favorite among voters, I think the establishment probably would most likely want him. But as we all know, they do not want Trump.
Right, right. And that's a good point. The establishment does not want Trump. Therefore, come the convention, if there was an effort to eliminate Trump, throw this whole country into chaos, wouldn't you say?
I don't want to go that far and say that the whole country would go into chaos and that there'd be, I mean, you might see a lot of protests. You'll see, you know, voters revolting by definitely, you know, there'd definitely be organized protests. I can assure you of that. You would see an exodus, I think, from the party into other parties, as I've mentioned before. But, you know, it remains to be seen what's going to happen. You know, the party's going to have to carefully weigh its long-term future and who the candidate ultimately is. So is the party establishment willing to sacrifice its potential medium-term health to block Trump? Possibly. I think that the establishment would have to answer that on their own. I know that the media's pushed Reince Priebus to kind of commit to one of the three, and I think he has moved in that direction. But anything can happen, and it's really going to depend on what happens in this New York primary on April 19th and the subsequent primaries in the remaining states. Because if he gets to the magic number, then, you know, it's all a moot point, because then he will be the nominee. And any effort to take it from him after that, then you might see real revolt. Yeah, absolutely.
So do you believe that New York is pivotal for both parties?
Do I believe it's difficult?
No, pivotal.
Oh, pivotal, yes, pivotal, absolutely. Oh, this is a key. This is why it's so exciting to be, you know, alive in this time in our history, because this has not happened in my lifetime, and I don't know if it'll ever happen again that New York's in play this late in the game for both of the major parties, for every single presidential candidate to come to this area, assuming that Bernie does have a rally here. It's just unprecedented, and it's really quite amazing. So, again, we're going to be watching to see the margin of victory by Trump, predicting Trump wins by double digits, looking at that 50% mark. And, you know, for Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, we're going to see how close Bernie comes. He could win it. We don't know. You know, there's still a week and a half left before people go to vote. So, you know, things can change. Polls can change. You know, a blunder on the campaign trail, a misstatement could change these polls 5-6% in either direction. But, yeah, absolutely. New York State, April 19th, absolutely pivotal that you get out there and vote for whoever candidate you support, because it's really going to make a difference. No matter who that candidate is, your voice really matters this time.
Usually during the primary, the percentage of people who come out are not great. Do you think in this primary there will be unprecedented numbers of people going to the polls to vote?
I believe so, absolutely. Again, you know, most people view the New York primary as irrelevant, and pretty much rightfully so, because generally speaking, the candidates have pretty much already been chosen. Maybe there's one party still in play, especially if it's someone going against a potential second-term president. I think the turnout's going to be massive. We've seen it across the country, at least for the Republican Party. We've had more people voting than we've had in ever, as far as I know. So it's going to be something to watch. I would think the turnout would be possibly twice as high as it was 4 years ago.
So let's keep our eye on what's going on, and maybe you could give a little commentary before April 19th and definitely after April 19th to share your views on the primary and how it all played out.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll be watching, obviously, the major presidential races. We'll be watching the Nassau County Skello seat.
Right.
We'll be watching Shelley Silver's seat. And seeing what happens here. A week and a half may seem close, but in politics, that is an eternity, and anything can happen. So, people may still be on the fence about who they want to support. I urge anyone who's listening to go to these rallies, even keep an open mind and go to the rallies of the opposite party that you're enrolled in, just to get the perspective. You're never... most likely never going to have this opportunity again to have them come this close to your neck of the woods. So I would encourage everyone to participate in that and experience this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I know you're having a good time being a candidate, huh?
Oh, I'm having the time of my life, getting to know all the people in the district, to talk with folks like you and others in the media. To learn about the process and how these things actually work, which unless you're really involved in politics, you don't really get a flavor for. It's a learning experience. It's a wonderful time. We're working as hard as we can. I feel we're giving people hope out there that have been, apathetic to politics for a long time in this area, generally because of the enrollment being so lopsided. People are thirsty for change, and we're hoping that translates at the voting booths in November. We're hoping we see it in the April primary for the presidential candidates. But we're going to keep working hard every day, and I can only ask for the people that are listening and anyone else that I talk to over the next 7 months, give us a fair shake, give us a chance.
Chris, thank you, and I look forward to talking to you again. So you've been listening to Focus on Albany, Christopher Davis, who is running for the New York State Senate. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you have any comments or questions about this episode, go hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much, Cynthia, and I look forward to talking again.
Have a good night and good luck.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.